The first lesson for today is from the second chapter of Ephesians. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles, by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The second lesson for today is from the sixth chapter of Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things, healing the sick in Gennesaret. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. At first glance, It feels like we're missing out with this gospel reading. Just previous to this passage, in Mark chapter 6, verses 17 through 29, we read of Herod presenting John the Baptist's head on a platter, as you may remember from last week's reading. Not included in our lectionary reading are verses 35 through 52, which tell of the feeding of the 5,000 and then of Jesus walking on the water, two undeniably fascinating stories. But those are readings for another day. In this passage, Jesus takes the hardworking apostles away for a little well-deserved rest and relaxation. You may recall that in the gospel reading from 2 weeks ago, Jesus sent the 12 out to proclaim repentance, cast away demons, and heal the sick. Jesus himself has been out among the villages teaching. The apostles are back together with Jesus now, but there's so much hubbub, so many people coming and going, that they haven't even had a chance to eat. By now, wherever Jesus goes, crowds follow. We see that also at the end of this reading when Jesus arrives at Gennesaret. But here, the 12 have just reported back to Jesus about their work, and now they've all earned a bit of a Sabbath. Alas, it is not to be. They're spotted as soon as they head to the deserted space, which isn't surprising. With all those people coming and going, how could they get away unnoticed? Can't you picture the scene? The crowds on the shore watching as Jesus and the 12 sail away, trying to figure out which direction they're going so that they can get there first. Off they rush by foot, spreading the news as they go, so that by the time Jesus and the apostles come ashore, the space isn't so deserted anymore. People are pouring in on foot from surrounding towns. 5,000 men and women and children, too, we soon learn. And here comes my favorite verse from the passage. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So it's a shame about the Sabbath, because Sabbath is important. It looks like this isn't the opportunity for rest and relaxation that Jesus had intended. But without any hesitation, Jesus shows compassion. He doesn't drive these people away like he drives the buyers and sellers from the temple just a few chapters later. I suppose he could have. Instead, he becomes the shepherd of these, dare I say, lost sheep. He nourishes them. He feeds them first spiritually by teaching them many things, and then he performs the miracle of the loaves and fishes to feed them physically as well. Let's backtrack and focus on one word from the verse, like. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Here we have a case of simile. According to Merriam-Webster, a simile is a figure of speech comparing two unlike things that is often introduced by like or as. Of course it's a simile, you say. The people aren't really sheep. They're like sheep. But that's not where I think the focus should be. They're like sheep without a shepherd. What's the difference? They aren't really without a shepherd. They're just behaving as if they were. Jesus is their shepherd. He has been all along. They may not know it yet, but he is. Jesus is always ready to show compassion. In our everyday lives, it's easy to imagine that we are sheep without a shepherd. We may feel out of control, unable to deal with everything that's going on in our own lives. It's even harder to make sense of what's going on in the world around us, as we seem to be bombarded daily by more and more bad news. We don't know which way to turn or what to do next. We look around for guidance. We may even feel it here at First Pres, because for so long we haven't had a pastor, or because we're unsure of the future, we feel like we are sheep without a shepherd. But we're not. The shepherd is always there. Jesus is always with us, whether we know it or not. Jesus is always ready to show compassion, and we should take great comfort in this. But we need to remind ourselves of the fact. Perhaps we need to make a habit of finding a deserted place away from the hectic world for a while so we can rest, reflect, and pray on it. Hopefully we have more luck at it than the apostles do in this passage. So, we are not sheep without a shepherd. The other side of that is that we, all believers, are of the same flock, because we all have the same shepherd. Our other reading for today reminds us of just that when it talks of how Christ brings together those born Jews and those born Gentiles. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. These days, it seems that there is very little peace, but a great deal of hostility and far too many dividing walls. Political parties, national boundaries, socioeconomic status, and race, among other things, all seem to divide us into opposing factions. It's all too easy to retreat into our own little enclaves and demonize the outsider, the other. To think that our way is the only right way. Not to look beyond the walls of our own little village. But we've heard the good news about Jesus. Let's come out of our various villages and join together. Let's hurry toward Jesus to greet our great good shepherd. Let's hear what he has to teach about loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Let's sit down and break bread with 5,000 plus strangers from all of the neighboring villages. We may think we have very little in common with some of them, but it doesn't matter, because we are all of one flock with one shepherd. Let us pray. Lord, grant that we may turn back to you, our great good shepherd, whenever we feel lost and forget that we are a part of your flock. Amen.